Hey everybody, pop art painter Jamie Rocks here. This is the VIP Patreon ad-free version of this podcast. You know, because you're a VIP, that when you're a VIP, you can listen to the podcast without them being interrupted by the commercials. So how cool is that? I just finished up with filmmaker Danny Madden. He directed a fantastic new movie, 15 Cameras, that will be coming out on the Friday the 13th of October. So here in about a week and a half, like I said, it was a real good time, and we had a real fun conversation. So we will, I'm trying to do 15 things here, and anyway, it doesn't matter. I have to cut that out. But here it is, ad-free.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, I am very, very excited. It's been a crazy week, and guess what? It rained again. But I'm really excited because our neighbors, every Friday, man, you think I would learn by now, have their land or their landscaping done. They're grass cut and whatnot, and they just finished, so it shouldn't mess up the show. Knock on wood. Now, what I'm really excited about, everybody, is our guest today. We've got a fantastic director on who has a new movie coming out actually in like a week or so, I believe. 2 weeks, I think, maybe. Week and a half, something like that, doesn't matter. But without further ado, I would like to welcome filmmaker, director, Mr. Danny Madden. Danny, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan, man. I watched the film. I was blown away. The film we're talking about, everybody, is 15 Cameras, and it drops on the 11th, I believe, right?
It comes out on the 13th, October, Friday the
13th.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be a fun day for a lot of us.
How did I mess that up? Oh, my God.
Oh, you know, anyway. It's okay. You just set me up to have the chance to pronounce it like that. I think that's what it was.
Hey, you know, I really liked this film because it really illustrates how it's a buyer's market right now, and you can get some really good deals on property, and you should probably just go out and ladies and gentlemen. I'm kidding.
Well, let it be a cautionary tale.
Got a good deal.
For sure, definitely.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Not good. Not good at all. No, this was a great movie. And I just want to say, because I'm not in the movie business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people for a living and stuff. But everybody I hang out with are either in bands or, you know, they want to be Danny Madden and make films, you know, be a film star. And, I mean, everybody. Because you guys all have the best parties. That's why I hang out with you. But anyhow.
I haven't been to any of those yet. I don't know. I'm not privy to those cool parties.
You're too busy working.
That's my version.
But
yeah.
No, you know, the interesting thing is I do have some horror films. I'm definitely a cinephile. I'm that friend you have that has the backyard theater and makes you watch annoying French movies with subtitles,
right?
You know, from 1925.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. But
yeah.
So I have all kinds of friends, and some of them are horror fans. And I honestly, it's kind of hard to watch movies with them because they pick everything apart. And they're just that way. And, you know, they're like, that guy's colon didn't explode. I'm like, how do you know what a colon explodes? You know, I mean, are you kidding me? It looked good to me. And if they're CGI, they throw their hands in the air. They're just like, oh, Hitchcock would never have done that, you know. No, he wasn't, right. Because they didn't have computers then, you know. But I got to say, and I don't want to give anything away in this, there's some practical effects in this that I have never seen in a film. And I was like, I'm not overly squeamish either. You know, I mean, I've sat through the Saw movies. I can handle it. But, you went for it. You went for it and accomplished it well. I had to look away from the screen, man.
We had a very enthusiastic crew on this one. So when a challenge like that comes up, I think a few people stepped in and put some pretty creative minds on it. So I hope it gives the people what they're looking for.
Oh, it's fantastic. This is the third in the franchise, right?
Franchise is a big word. It's a big word to use, but yeah, sure.
Well, you know what I mean.
You
know, you got to tell me that you didn't Crystal Skull it. This was pretty good. I haven't seen the first two. I want to, and that's the whole mm-hmm. point now. I'd probably be watching those this weekend, and, because I got it. What a villain.
Well, that's great. I mean, we definitely set out to make a standalone film. You know, I didn't want to make something that, like, you're obligated to watch two other movies before you watch this one. You know, I wasn't quite, interested in that. So, a new crop of characters with some crossover from the earlier films, which hopefully makes people happy. And, I think we did a nice balance of bringing something new to what the other two started.
Oh, it's fantastic. Now, did you work on the first two, or did they bring you in for this?
No, these are just, there's a lot of overlap in, like, different friends who worked in them and stuff. And there's an old buddy from school, PJ McCabe. He was the lead actor in one of the co-leads of 13 Cameras. And he was brought in by the executive producers, and this guy, Victor Zarkov, who wrote and directed the first one. PJ actually was the screenwriter. The actor from the first movie was the screenwriter of this movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Everybody's working. That ain't a bad thing. That's right, you know. So this was fantastic. It was really well done. And I'll tell you, you really tapped into the zeitgeist of the moment, you know, everybody that's almost become an urban legend of the, I don't know. There's cameras in the Airbnb. I mean, you know, you think about it when you stay in one, you know, it's an unnerving trope now that, maybe we've all just watched too much Law and Order. I don't know, you know, but, this film, I tell ya, you don't. What is it called? The phobia of being what? Scopophobia or something like that. Scopophobia. I can't remember. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. That's a new one.
You don't want to have that. You don't want to have it.
But it's an interesting. Yeah. I don't know. It's there's something interesting psychologically about it, about living in a world without privacy. You know, and the potential to always be, and even if you're out in public and stuff too, just kind of like always being on some kind of camera is it starts in a creepy place, I think, to me. So you get to embellish these ideas and feelings in the horror genre. So for me, it was a good place to start, you know.
Absolutely. I have a sister and brother-in-law that they've got a couple husky dogs, and the huskies are, you know, they're crazy. And when they were working, they set up cameras in their house to keep an eye on the, you know, what are our dogs, what furniture are they destroying today that we can do nothing about, but watch it happen in real time, you know. But I remember when they put those in and everything, and they were going out of town, and they asked the girls who watch our dog, when we go out of town, they're like, hey, can you get her, they'd be interested in watching our dogs. And I'm like, and they were until they heard about the cameras and they're like, no thanks. And it's just, that's par for the course. You know, we thought it was weird too. we love. I love it.
It was just the idea of being watched while they're taking care of the dog. Is that
Yeah, I guess I can't see those girls up to anything. You know, I mean, I would feel sad for the peeping Tom that watched them. Not because they're ugly or anything like that, but they're just kind of dull. You know, they. What are you guys watching? You know, another episode of Murder, She Wrote? I mean, it's
Yeah, sure.
But it ain't that interesting.
Yeah.
I have friends that
you
always,
never know.
You know,
you never know
about
what people are into, I guess. But
that's true.
But I can understand it. I understand the idea of just kind of being skeptical about these things. And I do think we should be, I don't know, conscious about moving through the world and I don't know. I don't know what it means. There aren't any like solid answers to come up with at this point because I think it's just cameras are ubiquitous. I walk through my neighborhood right now and I'm being filmed by cameras that are just on the outsides of houses and stuff and
on the doorbell.
It doesn't feel great. I guess, but I don't know. This is another texture in our futuristic world.
You know, Danny, I know somebody who's got a doorbell camera, and they didn't even – it's on the outside that they don't have the app on their phone. They just have it with the sticker in the window just to freak people – just to worry would-be thieves, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's going to be
– that's a classic.
And
trick.
I keep telling them, I'm like, haven't you ever seen those detective shows, you know, any crime show? They're like, hey, check the cameras. Oh, well, they're just for sure. And the look of disappointment on the detective's face, like, gosh darn it. We're going to have to do this the old-fashioned way. You know, fingerprints. So. It's crazy. But the cool thing is, as an artist, you captured that fear, that dread of being watched, you know. And I mean, you took it to the extreme. The guy in Elm Street basement, but again, I don't want to put anything. I think that's in the trailer, so I don't want to give anything away. But man, that opening scene of this film, oh my gosh, I knew I was in for it from the opening scene. You know, with the with the construction.
You can talk about it.
Let me put it that way.
You can talk about it.
I mean, a shadow with a guy with a hammer, and I'm like, oh, this ain't gonna be good. No one wants to go out with a hammer. I thought that until I saw the end of the movie. And then I was like, oh, there's worse.
It gets wild.
Man, let me ask you this, Danny. When you were a youngster, did you know that like making movies is what you needed to be doing? I mean, how did this all come about? Because you're pretty young, right, as I understand?
Not really. I'm mid-30s at this point. I don't know. I guess that's young by some standards, but I don't know. Not by my own, I suppose. But I'm a middle brother. I grew up with two brothers, and we were always making things and borrowing whatever neighbor's camera or our father's, and just always had that. It was our house was very story centric. Our mom's an English teacher, and dad's a big gregarious storyteller, and so. You know, we came up and that was the medium that we really liked to play in. And so when it came time to kind of, I don't know, decide what you're going to do, what you're going to pursue, in my like mid teens, it seemed like that was the only thing that made sense to me and continues to be for better or worse.
Nice. So you grew up in California, you're Southern California, LA guy.
I grew up in Georgia in the, right outside
in
of Atlanta.
Georgia, you're Southeast guy. Okay. Atlanta.
Yeah.
Is that where you're kind of based out of now, making movies there? Because
I'm in Los Angeles. I've been here for a little while. Exactly. You kind of go down like the gutter and you land where all people in this industry usually end up, you know. It's great out here. There's a good support crew. I mean, my brother Will, who's one of the lead actors in the movie. He moved out here a few years ago too, and we've been lucky enough to have some great collaborators and keep the projects coming out here.
That's fantastic. Yeah, when I got out of school, I went to school in Boston, and I said, I need the exact opposite of this. I've had enough snow. I'm tired of it. And I looked at the map, and I'm like, oh, San Diego. That's where I need to. I thought San Diego was great, don't get me wrong, but I spend every weekend in L.A., pretty much. San Diego's beautiful, but it's a little dull.
Yeah. You're into the arts, you know. You want to be around where that's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially if you're into selling art, because, you know, all the LA people, that's who you sell to, you know. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great, you know, it's funny though, because in this movie, even I was watching it the other night and my ears perked up. There was one line, what's her name? The main gal. Scott.
She's played by Angela Wong Carbone.
And she's fantastic. And there was one line she had where she goes, I'm going to Escondido. Whenever you hear any of those, you're somewhere else and you hear, you're like, oh, they mentioned Escondido. I got to, like, your ears perk up, you know?
Hmm.
What about Escondido? Who cares? You know, but I perked up just because I'm like, I know that place. You know?
Yeah, it's a specific place. And for people who have seen the first movie, you know, maybe that will ring a different kind of bell. So, we'll see.
Right. Well, you know, the interesting thing in this is your brother, Will, who played Cam, the transformation was so great in this because I think Cam's just a nice guy, you know, and he's trying, his wife's on a little bit of a bender, you know. If anybody's married and they're like in my house, these guys. My wife is hilarious. I was just telling this story to a friend of mine, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm not a big horror movie fan. I'm like, yeah, but you'll binge watch 16 hours of true crime, won't you? It's the same thing. The guy's not wearing a mask, you know.
In a sense, I do think we have. I feel kind of naturally disposed to like really eat that stuff up. I find it so fascinating. First off, the fear, you know, your imagination goes wild just thinking of, you know, if someone was pursuing you that, or even living in the neighborhood where things like that are happening. But, I do think just that state of mind is so alien, and I think it's intriguing because it's so, like, I can't even imagine, you know, where do you even start, you know, with that kind of darkness.
I always think that when I see something really off center, I guess is a polite way to put it. I'm like, man, what happened to that guy to get him into that? You know, where he's thinking in his mind, the villain in this. You know.
So that was something that we wanted to kind of a little bit of where that comes from and how someone can really go down a dark path when the circumstances arise, when the tools arise. To essentially like transform into a creep, you know. I think that's if given the opportunity, what happens to this like seemingly normal guy?
Absolutely, the text message scene. I don't want to give anything away, but it didn't take him long to go from being the nice guy to that scene. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh come on, man, are you kidding me? And that ended about how I thought it would, you know?
Yeah, and something we wanted to explore, too, is the way that people cover up these sort of creepy advances, right? They'll make a move, and then the way they try and kind of backtrack or, you know, a term that we all kind of – that's kind of – it's nice that it's in the lexicon now is gaslighting. Certainly a lot of that going on. This movie's got plenty of that happening.
Absolutely.
But it makes for a good story and a good exploration of this state of mind, I think.
Yeah, and the sister, Caroline's ex. I mean, we've all had the crazy friend who dated the crazy person. We've all been there, you know. It's if you haven't, maybe you are the crazy guy, you know. I don't know. But
yeah, but
everyone
kind of has their opportunity to go off the rails a little bit in this movie, and I think that's part of the fun. Again, like playing in the genre and not necessarily not like chaining ourselves to like naturalism. You know, we get to explore,
right.
We get to play and have fun, and each of the actors kind of gets to kind of explode a little bit in a way that
I find
it engaging to watch, and hopefully other people do too.
Absolutely. I tell you, I was really unnerved at there was a scene that involved a dinner and there was a shadow. Freaked me out, man.
Uh-huh.
Freaked me out.
Yeah, good. Well, the shadow,
like,
I mean, that's classic, right? They've been putting that in movies,
right,
since the silent era, but it's fun because you get a little mystique with it. You know, you get to sort of use your imagination and scare yourself.
Absolutely.
A little bit. That's always a fun way to go about it.
And I'm telling you, I don't know, it's not the Danu, I'm trying to think if there's a proper film term, I don't know, the end of the movie, I don't want to give anything away. What if
the denouement,
is that
the word you're looking for?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but it's,
I think a lot of people throw that word
around
maybe without exactly knowing what it's about, but, you know, yeah.
Right, but it wasn't that, it was the scene beyond that, I'm talking like pre-credit rolling scene. that was messed up, man.
you want to leave an impression. You're making these tiny movies, and you're floating them out into like an ocean of other films, you know. And what people quote,
right,
put quotes around it, like content, you know. You're floating things out into this ocean, and you know you want to make something that can stand out in some way. You know, you don't want it to just be like regular movie of the week,
right,
show of the week, you know. And so I don't know, there were a couple things that was like, well, let's see if we can leave people with a certain kind of taste in their mouth, and again, like we did the best we could with it, and hopefully it works, and it sounds like you're still thinking about it, so that's nice to hear.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's good art when you think about it, you know, days after you're like, oh man, that was messed up. And I'm not talking about the cool practical effects that left me very unnerved seeing, and it wasn't, this isn't a splatterfest movie. There was some gore in it, you know, a little 5-10%
in there. A little bit,
I wouldn't
call it that either.
I was definitely, it was unnerving. It was unnerving. And, you know, I don't know. You know, it's weird. My wife's into all this true crime stuff. Like I said, it reminded me of Sky and this a lot. And,
yeah,
you know, she'll watch this stuff and everything. And it's funny because when I first met her, she was into ghosts. She watched all those ghost shows, you know, all the ghost hunting shows and things.
Uh-huh.
And nothing ever happened. Nobody ever found it. You know, it's like, we all heard a bang. You know, that was... That was the climax of the episode. You know, really,
yeah,
it really wasn't that exciting after you've seen it 30 times. But the thing about this film is this absolutely could happen. You know,
yeah,
you watch the news, you're like, whoa, there's some messed up people out there. This absolutely
could
happen.
Yeah, I mean, those are the films and stories that scare me the most, the things that actually can and do happen, you know. There's some real, terrifying psychological stuff out there. There's some people that go to such extremes that, you know, make you keep the lights on at night.
Right. Or put in a doorbell camera. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Something I learned since I started doing the podcast and hanging out with all you filmmakers is that movie time is different than the linear time me and everybody else is used to living. I always thought, you know, I'd put on a movie or something and thought, they filmed this a couple months ago or something, you know. I thought that was the process. I didn't realize some of these can take years, you know, from concept or a person being brought onto the project to where we are now, pre-release, you know.
Yeah.
Was this a long process or did this go pretty quick?
You know, part of what was attractive about like just signing on to this movie was that it was expected to be a quick turnaround. So PJ McKay wrote the script in August of last year, and then we filmed in November, which is wildly quick, and then we delivered it in June. So
that's amazing.
You know, it was relative to like most other movies I've ever participated in or heard of, that is pretty lightning speed.
Oh, absolutely. That's not the norm. You know,
yeah, but that was
interesting,
Danny. That was part of the idea for me, though. It wasn't something that I really, you know, wanted to spend two years of my life on, you know.
Right.
It was like, let's
do
this. Let's see if we can make a fun horror movie and people can eat some popcorn and have a good time with it. And, you know, we'll get it out there, some good performances and some great cinematography, and the music is great. And we're like, let's just kind of like, let's put something out there that, you know, is a good horror film night for people.
Well, the cool thing, an interesting thing about this is you're one of the first guests I've spoken to that, you know, here we are, we're all moving down the track that was like, oh yeah, well we filmed prior to COVID, and then we did the editing in COVID, because that for the last couple of years has been pretty standard to most people I've talked to here on the show.
Right.
This is all post COVID. That's great. You know?
I mean, in a sense, yeah. I mean, this is still, it's November 22, so we still were doing all the COVID protocol existed on set. You know,
right.
We're all wearing masks. We had to take weekly tests, and we were pretty strict about all that stuff. And that definitely affects the process, but. You know, we made it through, and, you know, we barely slid through, like, being able to even just shoot it all in a couple of weeks, you know? So.
Right.
And then,
right.
Yeah, once you have all the footage, you kind of sigh a little bit of relief, and you're kind of like, okay, well, now I just got to figure out how to put the puzzle together. And but the fact that, like, we all came together and were able to even just get some kind of movie filmed in a couple weeks always seems like a feat, you know?
Well, this is the production value of this, the way it's lit, the way it's filmed. This just did not seem like a couple weeks. I mean, it seemed like, you know, I don't know. I don't know nothing about filmmaking other than, you know, Danny showed up with a bullhorn and there were cranes and, you know, there's a camera.
Yeah,
and
there was
stuff
definitely a bullhorn. There was a lot of shouting at people. Yeah, that's the way I like to operate. it's great. I mean, a lot of this team I'd worked with before, which is helpful. Our cinematographer Christian Zuniga was just really wonderful, and so he adapts so well to like any circumstance. So, you know, some people who are doing the lighting would despair at, all right, you have 25 minutes to light this whole thing. And, you know, but he's like, all right, that's the circumstance. This is what we got. So I'm going to work with it. And, yeah, just a lot of, like, great attitudes, like, good spirits involved on the crew of this movie.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always hear about directors, too, of course. Everybody always goes to Kubrick and The Shining and, you know. But I think what people maybe forget is that, you know, that was pre-digital. And you couldn't change. You couldn't even see it. You know, they had to go print the film and then show you what they call the rushes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to look at the stuff on, you know, on a laptop pretty quick. You know,
right?
Yeah, I don't like that. Let's do this.
Right. Yeah, it's very
pretty
very
cool.
Different process. But you still need to tap into that sort of adventuresome spirit of like,
oh yeah,
throwing some, you know, kind of. Some certainty and safety to the wind and just be like, you know what, or like safety in the end product, you know, and just be like, I don't know, let's see what happens when we move the camera like this and let's see what that shot feels like. And I don't know, I like that feels adventuresome to me.
Yeah, and, you know, and you're the captain of the ship, you know. I think people in any situation feel more comfortable when, you know, the boss is comfortable. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's freaking out. Everybody can remember the first time they ever saw their dad cry. That's not a good feeling. You know,
right,
it's like, oh,
right,
man,
right.
If he can't hold it together, we're all going down. Do you ever feel that way as a director? Do you ever, like, oh, my God, I got a lot of
pressure. Have I ever seen my dad cry?
No. It's just is keeping it together. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's. I mean,
when things are falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, leadership is such an essential thing for us. You know, I think that's something that. I mean, we've had all kinds of examples of that of what happens when the leadership is not strong or intelligent and stuff, and it can lead us into all kinds of dangerous situations, whether that's, you know, on a film set or politically, you know, it's like if you don't have the right person in charge, it's like, or the right person setting the tone, right? Setting an example. And,
right.
And so it's always like one of my favorite things to hear if someone says like, hey, this was like a really wonderful film shoot. Like everyone seemed supportive of each other. And to me, so much of that is top down. You know, you need to set an example for like how this is going to feel. And, you know, and everyone can come out and like, I don't think everyone needs to be like afraid, you know, and nerve-wracked to do a good job. I think you can set up the situation so that people feel confident. And also like, you know, it still is meaningful, even though everyone doesn't feel like they're getting like reprimanded, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to be Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi, you know,
I'm trying to say is that there are tactics where you don't have to be Darth Vader, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Hey, you know, we have links up, folks, to the Instagram. There's an Instagram page for 15 Cameras Movie.
Right.
The IMDb, and these links stay active. Sorry if anybody heard that. My Google in the other room heard my voice. I guess it's weird.
Ooh.
Anyway, she just started.
They're watching.
Out of
everyone's
the
watching you now.
They're watching.
Watch out.
Hold on. Now it's playing music. One second, Danny. Hey Google, stop. I don't
Jamie,
know what it
is
heard,
a good bit.
Folks, but it was
a good bit you got going
it
on.
Was playing.
Stop filming me. Google, stop filming me.
No, it was playing Mambo Number 5, which is a good song from the 90s. I don't hate it, but I don't need it playing now. Anyway, these links, folks, that I was mentioning that we have on the show page, when we convert this to a podcast that goes out everywhere, they stay active. So definitely click on and, you know, share the independent film. We got to help get the word out and whatnot. Danny, the big question that people are going to want to know, and I don't want to give anything away, are they going to, you know, is there going to be a 16 cameras?
Is there going to be a 16 cameras? You know, that is above my pay grade, as they say. That's not for me to find out. I be directing 16 cameras? You know, that's a likely no, but... but I think there are ways to continue these stories on. If people get real creative with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to distinguish bone from bone ash from other types of ash, you know. That was brilliant how we had those in there.
Wow.
Anyway,
so for those of you who see the movie, you'll know what he's talking about.
Exactly. Little Easter egg thing.
There you go.
Danny, I know you got a million things to do, you know, young filmmaker in L.A. on a Friday.
Yeah, I have all those. I have a bunch of cool parties to go to. So, yeah.
Exactly. Maybe take some lunches, you know.
Yeah, I got a bunch of lunches and coffees and parties to go to. So it's busy out here, man.
Yeah, folks, I have a feeling Danny will be working tonight. He'll be in a studio or something. He'll be editing, making music.
I mean, that's a lot closer to reality, than a bunch of parties.
Excellent.
Great. Well,
excellent.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks for watching the movie and taking the time. And,
I
hope
absolutely.
The folks listening also get something out of it.
Absolutely. And happy Halloween. And Danny, thank you for making this film, you know, because I really enjoyed it. And I want everybody to see it. And you're real good at what you do. Keep doing it, man.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for watching. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's going to wrap things up for us. Thanks for tuning in and everything. Next week, if you haven't been following my blog or whatever on my social media, we will be having no live shows next week, all week. My wife's going into surgery Monday, and I think I will have a nurse hat on helping her recover. She'll probably be in the hospital a couple of days. And, you know, I'm going to be busy doing that. So don't panic. Don't freak out, because this is episode 1376. You know, we have all of those in archives. So if you just want to hear me talking to cool people, well, there's a lot of them. It's a lot of talking. Anyway, we will see you the week after, and we've got some great guests lined up, and I will be posting those on the website this week, poprocksradio.com, and we will see you next time. Be cool and be patient. Remember, it's still a weird world. You don't want to wind up in a Karen video on YouTube, man. Just, you know,
mm-hmm.
wait for your McNuggets. You'll be fine. You know, be a little patient. That's all I'm saying. Anyhow, definitely check out 15 Cameras. It drops this Friday the 13th. You're going to want to see it. And you'll definitely want to be playing this at those Halloween parties that you got coming up. So,
Oh, yeah.
A good one. You know, put something new on, man. They know what happens in the Freddy Krueger movie, you know? You don't know what happens in 15 Cameras. And you'll be
Indeed.
The cool cat if you're playing that at your Halloween party.
Indeed.
Okay, thank
I
you.
Agree.
Thank you, Danny. Talk
right.
to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.